ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
This verse is one of the famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Famous means famous to us, at least, because Prabhupada used to quote these verses, and we hear from the great Mohanta Srila Prabhupada, who liked to quote these verses, especially the first verse of this chapter, which was read yesterday, presumably, and the fourth verse, fifth verse, and then the eighth verse of this chapter, the verses which Prabhupada quoted very often, being very much applicable to our condition. Our condition means we are conditioned. This is our condition. Now, Rishabhdevi is speaking this verse. He is the personality of Godhead. He says here, he's Ahuhu. They said, not just I said. If he says, that's all right, because he's the personality of Godhead. He knows everything. He knows what to say. But he also quotes, they say, not only I'm saying, everyone says. Krishna also, speaking the Bhagavad Gita, which is the quintessence of all spiritual knowledge, the most important book of spiritual knowledge, inasmuch as it gives all the teachings of spiritual life in a nutshell, that is accepted as the essence of all the Upanishads. He also quotes the Brahma Sutra, which is also the essence of all the Upanishads, but in a less direct and easy to understand form. Rishabhir Bahudagitam Chandubhir Vivitakritak Brahma Sutra Padai Shaiva Hitumadhir Vinishchitai. Krishna says, I will now explain the knowledge of the field and the activities as so many rishis and the different shastras have explained and is summarized in the Brahma Sutra, Abhidhamta Sutra. So even Krishna, here Rishabhdev, is quoting others. He is the personality of Godhead, that is to be accepted. But he also gives importance to the words of the great acharyas. Here he's saying to serve the mahantas, the great spiritually advanced persons. Krishna himself gives importance to them. Krishna himself sometimes likes to hear from the great acharyas. Sometimes the great acharyas or devotees, they may have some, by the mercy of Krishna, they may have some realizations about Krishna, which Krishna also enjoys to hear. Krishna also enjoyed to hear Bhishmadev speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj on topics of spiritual knowledge, even though Krishna himself was there with the topic of spiritual knowledge. He is the topic. What is the subject? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we should inquire into spiritual knowledge. What is the topic? The topic is Krishna. But Krishna, who is the summum bonum of all knowledge, who is that which is to be known in all the Vedas, he also likes to hear the Vedas explained by his devotees, and he recommends to hear from devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, to hear from devotees and to serve devotees. What's that verse? Anyone know that verse? Upadekshandite Gyanam Gyaninas Tattva Darshanah. Very important verse. Nowadays there are many different interpretations of this verse, but it's quite straightforward. Krishna says that one should submit himself to serve Tadviti Pranipatena Pariprashnena and ask all different kinds of questions. Prabhupada qualifies in the Prabhupada. They should be relevant questions. From those who are tattva-darshi, those who have seen the truth, they can explain what the truth is. So the same thing is being said here by Rishabhdev, who is himself taking the role of a great personality. He's taking the role of a guru, a teacher. He shows the path of spiritual advancement especially by renunciation. He will show that path, even though he is in his pastime acting as a grihastha. Later he will be exhibiting the pastimes of renunciation. And he's acting as guru. He's speaking to his sons. Son and disciple, they in many ways should be treated the same. The father should instruct the son about spiritual life. The guru must instruct about spiritual life. Rishabhdev in his teachings here will explain that You shouldn't even be a guru or a father or a mother. You don't take any position of respect or worship if you can't deliver your dependents from birth and death. So here Rishabhdev is showing the path of delivering dependents from birth and death by giving relevant instructions. He starts off his instructions, he doesn't, that's the English saying, beat around the bush. He gets right to the point. He says, don't live like a stool eater. The animal, the hogs and dogs are eating stool. Why do you want to live like that? Rather you perform some austerities for the sake of attaining brahma-sokyam tvanantam, real happiness, not on the happiness level of the dogs and the hogs. Real happiness, which is eternal. Real happiness means brahma-suk, spiritual happiness, that by its nature is eternal. Now, how to do that? How should we perform austerities and under what direction? How should we do that? So the next important point he's giving, that alright, you have to perform austerities, but don't just wander off in the forest and hang yourself upside down from a tree, or there's so many kinds of austerities you could imagine. But that should be done under the direction of Mahanta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote one, or rather spoke one lecture which was later printed as an essay. Mahanta Guru or Guru Giri. It means, who is real Guru means Mahanta Guru, means advanced devotee who has no personal desire than to give Krishna consciousness to others, and Guru Giri, which means Guruship, simply taking the position of Guru for exploiting others. So, here Rishabhdev is recommending to approach the Mahanta. Mahanta, his symptom is given in an opposite way. In other ways, saying you should associate with Mahantas, great devotees, or great spiritually advanced personalities. Serve them. And avoid the Yoshitam Sanghi Sangha, those who are attached to women, or even associates of those who are attached to it. In other words, Mahantas, they are not attached to women. They're not attached to sense enjoyment. Now in the other part of the verse it says here that they are Samachita. They see all living beings equally. And then in the first part of the verse it says not attached to women. And the second part says that they are seeing all living beings equally. Then how is that? Why should you avoid the association of women if you see all living beings equally? It seems to be a contradiction. So of course a pure devotee, he sees no distinction. He sees everywhere. All living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. Same time, one who is spiritually advanced, as will be explained in this canto, that by Jarabharat, he never trusts the mind. He never thinks, now I am self-realized, now I am perfect, now I can indulge, I can do whatever I like. Rather, he's always careful. So even though he may see all living beings as equal part and parcel of Krishna, still he conducts himself very carefully so that he doesn't again become captivated by Maya, just like Jarabharat himself. Practically there was no question of him being captured by Maya, but he was so careful that he didn't speak with anybody. He saw all living beings equally, I don't want to speak to any of them, because they're all in Maya. Why should I speak to them? I just want to be Krishna conscious. Madhavendra Puri, we also read about him. Now, he didn't like to talk to anyone, but when he got the association of Advaita Acharya, then he was very happy to speak all day and night about Krishna. Now, the Mahanta, or pure devotee, even though sees all living beings equally samachita, prashanta, very steady and peaceful in his heart, is not envious of anybody, is friendly to all, is sadhu. Sadhu. This word means, there are different meanings. It means he is sat, he is fixed in eternity, he is fixed in that which is proper. He's fixed in the shastra. These are different meanings of the word shastra, of sadhu. Also, he may not associate with women very much, also for the sake of teaching others. That's also there. Because whatever a great person does, others follow. So even though one may be highly spiritually advanced and may be free from all material attractions, even so, he should conduct himself to a large extent as if he is a sadhu, because people tend to follow what they see. Now this verse, Ahur Vimuktis, they said, Rishabhdev is quoting, they said, who says? Who says that you should remain aloof from material association? Who says that you should avoid the association of women and those attached to them? Who says that you should serve great spiritually elevated people? Great spiritually elevated people, they say you should serve great spiritually elevated people. So it sounds like it could be a catch that you're becoming part of a cult in which the leaders say, we are spiritually advanced, you should serve us, that will be good for you. Here, Rishabhdev says, they say, who says, those already spiritually advanced, they say you should serve the spiritually advanced. So this seems like someone could be tricking you. They could be. You should be careful. See what Shastra says. What are the symptoms of someone who's actually spiritually advanced? Here they're given, Samachita Prashanta Vimanyava Suhrida Sadhavoye. Those who are equipoised. In other words, they don't have anything to take from you. Someone who is spiritually advanced, he doesn't have anything. Materially, he doesn't want to take anything from anybody. Spiritually, he's eager to take from others. Even when they may be spiritually advanced, that's another of his symptoms. He likes to associate with those who are also spiritually advanced, so that they can enjoy each other's association and enhance each other's Krishna consciousness. What does Krishna say about that in Bhagavad Gita? Labchita Madgata Prana Bodhyanta Paraspara Katyantas Chamam Nityam Tushyanti Charamam Ticha. This Krishna is describing the behavior of Mahantas or Mahatmas or highly elevated spiritual persons, that their consciousness is absorbed in me. They have made me the goal of their life. They like to discuss about me among themselves. Always, in this way, they remain satisfied. And they take pleasure in it. So samachita, prashanta, they're equipoised and very peaceful. Because they're satisfied with topics of Krishna. And they like to associate with other advanced devotees so they can discuss topics of Krishna. And they like to bring others also, because they are suhrida. They're the very good friends of others. They like to bring others that come, you listen, you hear. I heard something from my guru, I heard from sadhus, I've heard from Shastra so many wonderful things about Krishna. So let us now come and hear, come and listen. Yeah, that will be beneficial for you. So we should see what are the symptoms of a Mahanta. He's interested in Krishna. He doesn't have anything material to gain from those who become his followers. Now it may be said, well, some of them get a lot of money. They seem to be doing pretty good life being a sannyasi. Fly here and there, have a good time wherever you go. People wash your feet. Very nice. Very good luck. That may be. Sannyasi also has to be careful that he doesn't become mesmerized by such a syndrome. If he thinks, yes, now I have so much money. It's time for a holiday. I've been working hard. Let me sit on the beach for 2 weeks. But he also has to be careful. Oftentimes I think that sannyas is maybe the worst ashram for spiritual advancement, because a devotee is supposed to become humble, but how are you supposed to become humble when people are always bowing down to you, and you're supposed to become free from material desires, so people are giving you money, but then you should see sannyasi or guru is supposed to be mahanta, samachita, prashanta, not interested in anything material. That will be described in the next verse. In other words, as Prabhupada explained, when someone comes and offers, bows down, that he's like a tax collector. That I have my job. What is the job? Guru is tax collector. Doesn't sound very exciting or glamorous. Tax collector. What tax collector? That people offer obeisances, you offer them up to Krishna. That's all. Don't keep anything for yourself. If you keep for yourself, then you'll be crushed by the weight that is called pratishtasha, the desire for personal fame that will crush if you accept for yourself name, fame, glory, money, all those things. Then that's a material desire. So you're externally acting in a position which is supposed to be free from material desires. So that dichotomy in the heart, that will eventually spoil your spiritual advancement. Therefore, at least someone who's practicing Krishna consciousness very carefully and is convinced, at least, and is developing these qualities, samachita, prashanta, then they should do this job of tax collector. Because Rishabhdev is saying, you have to serve the Mahatmas. You have to perform service to the Mahatmas. So Mahatma, he won't think he's Mahatma. Actual real Mahatma is Rishabhdev. Mahatma means great personality. So the great personality is Krishna, Rishabhdev. But he himself has given this title, Mahatma Nastu Maam Partha Daivin Prakriti Mahashritaha Vajante Nanya Manasokya Vabhutadi Navyayam. Although Krishna himself is actually Mahatma, the greatest of all persons, Paramatma, the greatest living being, he says that also those who take shelter of my divine energy, those who are my Ananya Bhaktas, Ananya Manasokya, they're also Mahatmas. They're also great personalities. Ananya means no other. Those of no interest but to serve Krishna. There are so many words. Ekanishta. Fixed up with only one intention. Ekanta. These are all terms for pure devotional service. Fixed on one. Eka. Mani ekam sharanam raja. Only taking shelter of Krishna. So, such persons, Krishna himself, he appreciates. He appreciates so much that he says, Mad bhakta puja badika, worship my devotee more than me. How is that? How can it? That seems to be against the principle of Shastra. Shastra, Krishna is speaking, Matapparataram danya, kinchidastiganamja, no one is greater than me, nothing is greater than me. That is the verdict of all the Mahatmas, all the Mahantas. That is the not only verdict, it's not a popularity vote. That's another nonsense idea. That someone, so many people will vote. What do you think? Is this some illiterate priest is God? Yeah, I think so. What do you think? Yeah, I think so too. Okay, he's voted God. We voted Gadadhar Chatterjee as God. Now he became God. Not by vote, but by the opinion. Nirupita, that verse, that word also, Prabhupada used to use that, quote that word. It is ascertained. It is specifically ascertained by all authorities that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. There's no one above Him. Therefore, the greatest worship, Aradhananam Sarvesham, whose? What is the greatest worship? Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Topmost. Param. The topmost worship is that of Vishnu, because Vishnu is topmost. But, what is the next line? Tasmat Parataram. Now how? Parataram means more than, greater. So greater than the best. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. The best or topmost worship is that of Vishnu. But even more, that's spiritual life. Already you came to the top and there's further to go. It's unlimited. Even more than that, Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. To worship that which is in, to worship that which is in relation to Vishnu. So specifically, that is being described, the devotees of Krishna. So we may say, well, sounds like someone made this all up just to exploit. Same thing, you can say again. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addressed this problem that the Mahanta or Mahatma or Guru is supposed to be very humble, because he's a Guru means who's the best Vaishnava, and best Vaishnava means Trinada Pisune Chaina Tarore Vasayishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should be more humble, more low down than the grass, more tolerant than the tree. We can say it, sometimes we say it parrot-like, but what does it mean to always want to give respect to others, not want any respect for oneself? And in such a state of mind, one can actually chant the holy name of the Lord. So that's supposed to be the topmost Vaishnava. But then, we read in Bhagavatam that Acharyam mam vijaniyam davamanyeta karvichit namartya buddhisuyeta sarvadeva mayo guru. When Krishna is instructing the behavior of a brahmachari, he says how to worship the, how to treat the Acharya, that he should be considered as good as me. And here we see another place Krishna saying more than me. He should not be disrespected in any way. He should not be considered an ordinary person, because he is the sum total of the demigods. What does that mean? Well, people go to the demigods for material, give me this, give me that. But who is Acharya, devotee of Krishna, can give more than all the demigods their worldly functions, because he gives Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining that the duty of the guru is to teach the disciple Bhagavatam. So when he comes to this verse, what should he say? That Krishna is saying you should worship the Acharya. Should he change the verse and say, don't do this? Kick the guru in the face. Get a stick and beat him. No, he has to teach the Shastra as it is. And Shastra means what is Krishna's desire, and who is teaching Shastra has to teach what is Krishna's desire. So he may feel himself unqualified this way, the other way, but because his guru has given the order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the order, Jare Dako Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh, Amaragya Guru Haya Tare Idesh. Amaragya, you may say, unqualified, not qualified, this, that, the other. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the order. So one who takes up that order, he has to take it up fully. Not required, he has to teach this verse. Don't associate with materialistic people. Associate with those who are attached to Krishna. Serve them. This is the way, this is the way to get vimukti. This is the way to become completely liberated from material life. And the opposite way, to associate with those who are attached to mundane sense enjoyment, which is epitomized by sex enjoyment. And that we factually see, that those who give up the path of mahatseva on this pretext or that pretext or another pretext, I don't like this, I don't like that, whatever pretext or reason, it may seem very reasonable, it may seem very logical to give up the service of the devotees. But we see those who do so, they fall back into hellish life. Material life means hellish life. Without Krishna consciousness, everything is simply hellish. So here, it's a great demand, actually. Rishabhdev is saying, you have to serve the Mahatmas, Mahantas. It's very difficult for our false egos to accept such a thing. Why should we do that? It doesn't. Especially in the modern age, democracy, equality, don't trust anybody, trust your own reason and your own intelligence. But Krishna is asking us to take a very great step to trust others who can guide us in spiritual life. Serve them. Krishna will be pleased. This is the unchangeable. This is Shastra. This is the principle that Krishna has given. Why Krishna has given like that? Why not just serve Krishna? Jivesurupai Krishna Nitya Das, we're simply servants of Krishna. Why not serve Krishna? Because Krishna said, you serve in this way. As Prabhupada gave the example, love me, love my dog. Krishna, that nowadays people like to keep dogs. So if someone has a pet dog, they're very attached to their dog. So if someone meets them and they pet their dog, then that person becomes pleased. Oh, I love my dog. And you love my dog also, therefore I love you. So love me, love my dog. This is the system that Krishna has given. Krishna likes this system. So we may have so many things to say. There are many things to say. We may also pertinently ask, who is actually that pet dog of Krishna? Now we have to see if qualifications are given. But this point that can't be given up, because we can't satisfy Krishna unless we satisfy his devotee. This is being described by Rishabhdev himself in this verse. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, please? Madhavendra Puri Das.
But the love and trust between the spiritual masters and the disciples, when it's disturbed by abuse on one side, the followers, the dependents, the disciples, how to re-establish this love and trust among them?
How to re-establish love and trust that has become disturbed? There's no legislation you can do. You can't pass. That is stated in Shastra, that, what is that? That brahmachari gurukule vasam dantu gururi itam. Next line is? Acharam dasavo nichan surida guru sohridam. That the brahmachari should live in the ashram of the guru simply for the benefit of the guru. Acting as a menial servant and with a very strong bond of love and friendship with the Guru. So that is Shastra. Shastra states that. But on the other hand, that can't be actually legislated. You can't legislate the condition of the heart. That should be the attitude taken up. But that ultimately depends. And it's we hear so much nowadays about relationships, and people like to quote many psychological books and this and that. But ultimately that depends upon the attitude of the disciple is one factor. Sharalata, simplicity, is the basic symptom of a devotee. His first simplicity. That basically accepts. You see, someone has these qualities attached to Krishna, samachita, prashanta, vimanya, vasudhu, sadhavoya. Therefore, sometimes it's said that one should not come very close to the spiritual master. Although your spiritual life means to come close to the spiritual master, but then sometimes we don't come very close. So how to come close? That means one should come close to understanding the intentions and come close by following the instructions. But if you see, you may think, ordinary person. You see, he's sleeping, passing stool, he's eating. Oh, he ate so much. If you want, you can also say so many things about God. You ate so much. Sometimes you used to eat so much. Oh, not advanced, you may think. So therefore it's wanted to be careful. That also, it's from the side of the spiritual master also, it's a very, you can say, very expert handling job, how to handle people to bring Krishna consciousness in their lives, maintain them, bring them up, or at least maintain them. It's because every living being is a bundle of emotions, desires, and so many misconceptions, and so many people have so many funny ideas about what a guru should be, and they think that I'll simply get the blessing of the guru and that's all. Simply he'll go like that and everything's finished. There's so many funny ideas. We see even most expert acharya, Prabhupada, and some of his disciples also left his association, personal association. They found him too heavy, or couldn't tolerate and so it requires, therefore submission on the part of the disciple is required. First you see very carefully, where are you going? Who are you going? Prabhupada says you shouldn't accept a spiritual master unless you're prepared to surrender. First you examine, then after you're examining, you surrender, that's it, then you should follow. One should take the order of the spiritual master's life and soul. Even then we see, again, taking the example of Prabhupada, he understood that even though that's the ideal, many of his disciples weren't very surrendered. Therefore, he dealt with them in ways in which they could overcome their material desires by engagement in devotional service. without demanding that everyone just do exactly what he said at every moment of the day. So it can be a very complex thing, it can be a very simple thing also. Preferably simple. If you become complex, then everything becomes very difficult. But if you simply accept it, well, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm his servant. I'm supposed to serve through medium guru. Guru means one who's following the parampara and serving Krishna. So my guru is doing that, let me follow. Then it becomes a very simple thing. And when we become very complicated, then it becomes very difficult. There's another question.
Sometimes the guru may have to instruct the disciple about how he or she is dealing with the guru.
Mm.
And in other words, then it could be seen to be as arrogant.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in class that that no one would, Prabhupada was not going to present himself as such.
Yeah.
I think everyone accepts that as true. But is there a circumstance that one of the spiritual master may present himself in that way? Because I think in the definite instruction there, Prabhupada's talking about the Buddha Nanakara, and then he says about himself and the fact that his god brothers or neophyte god brothers, and they don't appreciate the activities of the
an empowered devotee who's preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world.
So probably explain himself
Yes, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he would reveal himself as the personality of Godhead, and other times when people called him the personality of Godhead, he'd say Vishnu, Vishnu, and run away. So Prabhupada also, in several of his purports, he establishes, actually, I am the empowered representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Then in another purport he says that I'm very crippled and I hope at least one of my disciples can carry me back to Godhead, like Dhruva Maharaj has carried his mother. So both things are there. How is that possible? Well, that's inconceivable. Is it? Sometimes he has to say for the benefit of others. Everything is done for the benefit of others. Not that he has any false ego. You see, I'm the Mahabhava, I'm the great devotee. You see, I am the greatest. Then if you say that, then you immediately become in Maya. But sometimes he has to say. There's an interesting story in this regard, or anecdote in this regard. That Prabhupada, he was praying before the deities, Radha Nandanisha, intently and intensely. And a devotee was bold enough to ask him that, Prabhupada, what were you praying? Pretty bold question. So Prabhupada said that, I'm praying to Srimati Radharani that I never fall down. So then a few days later, Prabhupada was speaking to the devotees and said that any one of you can fall down, but I will not. I cannot fall down. And everybody said, but Prabhupada, the other day you said you're always praying that you can't fall down. Prabhupada said, because I'm always praying that I won't fall down, therefore I won't fall down. Another point, I mean, there are so many, we have so many guru discussions, and you know, we could get out into dozens of tangents here. My policy is whatever the verse is I speak on, and this is actually the philosophy of Krishna consciousness on this point, which I discussed today. But another point is then, for those who are gurus and acharyas in our movement today, there's also the point of not imitating the position of great Mahabhagavat who is empowered to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's also a point to be borne in mind. It's a very delicate thing. One has to take such a superior position, one always has to think of himself as very lowland and fallen. Then he always begging for the mercy of the previous acharyas. Then it's possible to take such a heavy service. Otherwise, it's like I say, you'll get the weight will, it can crush you.
Yes, I love the first question. Sometimes it's heart-to-heart attachment doesn't occur, because initially, when you expect initially to surrender to an institution, which formerly wasn't happening, finally going to the rules of our time to
do,
and you think that this is what proper institution.
Prabhupada made an institution. It's required. It's required for preaching. Yeah, it's required. The institution also has its own institutional problems. Institution means there have to be properties, and then the danger is there of becoming attached to property or considering oneself the master of the property. There are pros and cons, but on the whole, if there wasn't such an institution, then no one would be becoming a brahmacharya and chanting Hare Krishna anyway. So that Bhakti Sthansa Thakur used to talk about morphology and ontology. That's his own use of these words. Morphology means the external, the way he used the word, means the external show to attract people to Krishna consciousness, and ontology means the essence, which is actual surrender to Krishna. So that develops also, surrender but is required, but Prabhupada also speaks in the verse in Bhagavad Gita which speaks about surrender. Savadhaman pariptatya mamekam sharanam raja. Krishna says, surrender to me. Prabhupada discusses about this sharanagati, the surrendering process. So in the beginning one surrenders, but his surrender naturally becomes deeper as he goes on. In the beginning you make a commitment to surrender, but then to fully surrender means to become fully free from all anarthas. So actually the relationship with Krishna, the relationship with spiritual masters, surrender, that develops. I know, I have to speak for myself that I really feel my appreciation for Prabhupada. I really didn't have very much. I don't know how much I could say I have now, but that developed more after Prabhupada left. I was only in this room 2 years when Prabhupada left, and I didn't, even when I took initiation, I didn't really know that much what I'm supposed to be doing or who I'm surrendering to. But it would be hoped that as you go on in Krishna consciousness, your appreciation will develop more, and then your surrender will develop more. Surrender also, and it's necessary for the prospective devotee to take some, just here, take this, this is good for you, follow these rules, surrender, do this, do that, follow this morning program, that will be, you should do this, this will be good for you. So it's a rigidity, rules and regulations. You have to surrender to these rules and regulations, follow that. So in the beginning you may be doing it, you don't really know why you're doing it, but because you do it, it's helpful for you, because it brings you into the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. The whole, just like we have this sadhana program, sometimes people say, well, it's just an institutional rigidity, but what is it? It's chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, taking darshan, putting time aside for all these things in a regulated way. So in the beginning there may not be much realization, but just by doing it, even without realization, just surrender to this process, then the process itself will purify. So in the beginning, devotee was asking about quantity and quality in chanting. Isn't it better just to chant one round or four rounds with quality rather than chant more, and you just kind of, Prabhupada said, first quantity, then quality. First, you have to follow the process of sadhana bhakti, even may not be very, not concentrating very much or whatever, but then we're hearing, and when we're hearing, you should chant attentively, you should hear attentively. So gradually by doing this, we improve and we improve, then the quality comes. We can't expect quality in the beginning, because we have so many material desires, which are overcome by sadhana bhakti. One more question?
That was your quoted Maharaj, Tadbhuti Pranipatena.
Say it again, so that you
can. That was your quoted Tadbhuti Pranipatena, that for the report, the next verse for the report.
Yeah.
The Lord says that, yet get one man who has Moham, he was able to find the one. We are a Buddha, he has his name, after hearing from us, such a rain, self-realized soul, we never fall again into such illusion, understanding that everyone is my father and father, and everyone belongs to Krishna.
Yeah.
So my question is that after hearing so many years, 15 years, 20 years, like that, then a person fall into such illusion. Also, not only a disciple, but sometimes we see that a guru who is supposed to be self-reliant, how he also can fall into such illusion.
Well, how is it possible that someone can hear so much and then fall down means that come to that point fully? Realize, that's why I was saying that even you may be sannyasi, but you have to be, you may be sammacitta, you may be seeing all living beings, you may be acting on a high level of Krishna consciousness, but the danger is always there. You should never think I'm perfect. I was mentioning that in the class. You should never think, now I am perfect, I don't have to follow these things. Then you become in a dangerous situation. Therefore, devotees should always stick to the devotional process. That will protect him. Prabhupada said that the kirtan is the safest position within this material world. We're in a dangerous situation. We're in an ocean infested with tossing waves, infested with sharks. Therefore, we have to stay on the boat of devotional services. So the basic principles, associating with devotees, chanting the holy names. Therefore, we have this process of coming together in our temples, chanting together, that gives us strength. Whoever we may are, whomever we may be, if we don't follow this process, then we're jumping in the ocean. You see, even Prabhupada, he never went outside this ocean, he never went outside the boat of the association of devotees and his own spiritual movement. He never gave up, he never thought, well, now I'm completely perfect, therefore I don't need to chant Hare Krishna. Rather, if you are completely perfect, you'll chant Hare Krishna more. Sometimes we hear, now you become very advanced, so you don't have to follow any sadhana. But shouldn't it be that you follow more? Because what does sadhana mean? Chanting and hearing in the association of devotees. And what does advanced mean? That you like to chant and hear in the association of devotees. Alright, I said one more question. It's now 9 o'clock, so I'll stop here.